Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
It was a big week for the Olympic Organizing Group, Boston 2024, with the release of its highly anticipated revised Olympic plan, known as Bid 2.0, followed by the group's meeting with the U.S. Olympic Committee in California. So, what's ahead now for the Olympic push, especially politically? We asked our political team, Republican political analyst Todd Domke and Democrat Dan Payne. You know, the Olympic organizers, Boston 2024, as we know, won some praise from the U.S. Olympic Committee this week with their new plan, and praise in some localities around the state with the multiple announcements recently that various Olympic events would be held in spots from the Berkshires to Lowell to Quincy. Does it feel like that the 2024 organizers are turning the tide of opposition, Dan?
Well, one of their biggest problems is social media. Evan Falchuk says that he has 10,000 people signed up for his referendum opposed to the use of public dollars. So when the new 2.0 bid was announced, hundreds of negative comments appeared on Twitter. So despite their new bid, old questions remain about financing and the location of events.
Todd, did Boston 2024 abandon the idea of the walkable Olympics in Boston because it thought it might have a better chance of winning a statewide referendum if it spreads the games around a little bit around the state, do you think?
Yes, to try to boost public support in western Massachusetts, they changed the concept from a walkable Olympics to a plan where no one without a limo and police escort could get from one venue to another and make it in time to another game. From handball in Worcester to archery in Cambridge, fencing in Lowell, shooting in Billerica, Fall River for boating. Spectators trying to walk between the games would get more exercise than many of the Olympic athletes.
Does the new plan, the 2.0 plan, meet the goal of providing transparency to the process, Dan?
Well, there are a few missing ingredients. 8 sports out of 33 are still without a home. 2 of them are aquatics and cycling. There's no site for an Olympic-sized pool. And since we don't already have a velodrome for bicycles, they'll have to build a new cycling facility, but they haven't even guessed at where that might be located. They claim they're shopping for a broker to get insurance. Whenever they're asked about these missing ingredients, they say, oh, don't worry about it. We're working on that. Well, it's getting kind of late to be working on costs and venues.
Yes, a lot of the big venues are to be decided. They made up estimates of how much they'd cost, but not knowing where they'd be located. But Dan's right. The biggest missing piece that concerns taxpayers who remember the cost overruns of the Big Dig is the mystery of insurance. After 2 years of planning, they still don't have details on how they'd get insurance to protect taxpayers from overruns, overruns that have happened in 100% of recent Olympic Games, average overruns of 179%, according to a University of Oxford study. So people are wondering what kind of insurance company would accept $150 million in premiums with the 100% risk of covering billions in cost overruns.
Todd, on the subject of a statewide vote on the games, Governor Baker has floated the idea of moving a statewide referendum on the games to early 2016 instead of holding it in November 2016 when the presidential race is on the ballot. Clearly, there would be a lower turnout on that vote if that switch happens. Would a lower turnout help supporters or help opponents?
Well, I don't think lower turnout helps the pro-Olympic forces because the passion is with the opposition. This, it seems like a grassroots movement taking on the establishment insiders, and so far they've been winning.
According to what I've seen and what I've been told by a pollster, support for the games drops as you go up the age, income, and education ladders. So those who are neutral to mildly in favor tend to be younger, poorer, more likely to be minority group members. And these very people don't turn out in special elections. So a January 2016 referendum would probably result in a low turnout, and I can't believe that's going to be good for the 2024 organizers.
Dan, Globe columnist Joan Vinaki pointed out that Governor Baker has said he's a data-driven person. He's got a separate outside consulting firm analyzing the cost of the Olympic Games for him. What do you think makes it or breaks it for Governor Baker?
Well, with Baker, I think it's all about the Benjamins. It's the tax dollars. if he or his outside consultant find that the games will hurt taxpayers or put them at risk, city or state, then he's going to withhold his support. I think he'll never come out and say no to it. The business elite who are behind the 2024 bid are too important to him. If he buys into what they're selling, that the games will turn a profit and maybe even generate public dollars, then he might get on board.
A lot of big supporters of Governor Baker support Boston 2024, including his mentor, former governor, Bill Weld. They have his ear, and maybe both ears, but his eyes are on the polls. His margin of victory last time wasn't very large. He's popular now and would like to remain popular. So endorsing something opposed by most voters for games he won't be around to take credit for probably doesn't seem all that appealing. He might be hoping that the independent consultant comes back and says the new bid is incomplete and too high a risk for taxpayers, so he and the legislative leaders could say, let's pull the bid and try again in 4 or 8 years.
All right, last question. In the last couple of decades, the Boston area spent a lot of money advertising internationally about what a great place Boston is to visit, how it's a world-class city. I'm wondering if you think Boston might look like a small, insular, parochial place if we reject the games or if the USOC has to pull out. What happens to the city's reputation, Dan?
Well, I don't think differently about Chicago or New York because their bid didn't prevail. You know, a barber once told me that the difference between a good haircut and a bad haircut is 1 week. And I think that's what we're looking at here. You know, there'll be a week of anguish and recriminations, but we'll get over it.
That's right. Bostonians might not feel this is really the hub of the universe or even the hub of the Western Hemisphere, but Boston ranks high in foreign investment. We have world-renowned universities and hospitals. We have championship sports teams, great history and culture for tourists. So I don't think losing the Olympics to Paris would undermine our self-esteem.
Todd Domke, thanks a lot. Good to see you.
Good to be with you.
Same to you, Dan Payne.
Enjoy your weekend, Bob.